Take your Bibles with me this morning and turn to Joshua chapter 23 as we are drawing to a conclusion over the next couple of weeks, our study through the book of Joshua. Several years ago, it's about this time of the year, and we got out getting ready for our church softball team, and I was out on the field playing softball, and I realized something. I realized that I was extremely out of shape. And I decided on that day that I was going to do something about that. And so for the next couple years, I had began this training program, and I had gotten myself into really good shape. It's lasted a couple years. And now every time I do something physical, I have those same thoughts. I say, you know what? I am extremely out of shape, and I should do something about that. The only problem is they haven't gotten any farther than my thoughts. They have not resulted in any action. The goal is the same. The actions are different. It's easy to realize that we need to exercise when we're in a moment where we're struggling physically. Like when I'm playing basketball with some young guys and I can't get up on the basketball court without dying, I realize, you know, I should do something about this. Unfortunately, the next day I sit behind my desk and I completely forget that I needed to get into physical shape. As I was studying through Joshua and as I was thinking about the lessons here, I began to think about times that we spiritually do the same thing. Times when I have taken children and teenagers to camp, and for that week, they get really excited and say, I need to do something different spiritually in my life. I think about times when I've gone on mission trips, and on this mission trip, I'm with people, and we say, as we're serving, that we're going to do something different, and we get home, things are going to look different, and we're going to serve differently. And when we go through times, maybe short-term Bible studies, we go to a conference, and we get excited about what God is doing and God's plan, and we say, things are going to be different, and then we get home. Right? It's easy to have these thoughts on the short term, but then when you get into everyday life, sometimes it's a little more difficult and we lose sight of the goal. And spiritually, our goal is a full relationship with God. Our goal is to know Jesus and to serve Him. And as Joshua is nearing the end of his ministry, he's writing this, and as he's writing to the, speaking to the Israelites here, he's worried that they're going to become complacent and they're going to lose sight of the goal. You see, they have just conquered the promised land, and they now possess the land, and he's worried that they may think that the land is the goal. We've accomplished the goal. We've done what we're supposed to do, and they would get complacent, and they would the danger of thinking that maybe they have made it. See, when we go to a camp or a mission trip or a short-term Bible study, those aren't the goals. Those are things that help us as we go along our journey. Serving, staying spiritually fit includes things like this, but there's so much more to that. And so we're going to look today at kind of this idea of being physically fit compared to spiritually fit and kind of tying that together. So we don't get to the point where we're in good physical condition and then just stop exercising, right? We don't get to a point where we say, okay, I'm going to get in physical shape, and we exercise for a while and we say, I made it. I'm good. I got to where I want to go, so now I can just quit and I don't have to do anything else because I have arrived. And spiritually, we can't do that either. Because what happens? When we quit going forward, we end up going backwards. And Joshua writes to the here and he says, we got to move forward. And so let's read this together in Joshua 23, verses 6 through 13. Be very firm then to keep and do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that you may not turn aside from it to the right hand or to the left, so that you will not associate with these nations, these which remain among you, or mention the name of their gods, or make anyone swear by them, or serve them, or bow down to them. But you are to cling to the Lord your God, as you have done to this day. For the Lord has driven out great and strong nations from before you, and as for you, no man has stood before you to this day. One of your men puts to flight 1,000, for the Lord your God is he who fights for you, just as he promised you. So take diligent heed to yourselves to love the Lord your God. For if you ever go back and cling to the rest of these nations, these which remain among you, and intermarry with them so that you associate with them and they with you, know with certainty that the Lord your God will not continue to drive these nations out from before you. But they will be a snare and a trap to you, and a whip on your sides, and thorns in your eyes, until you perish off this good land which the Lord your God has given you. So Joshua is nearing again the end of his leadership, and his desires for the Israelites to remain faithful. It reminds them of the importance of staying on track, and it begins again with God's word. Why is a good place to start when we look at being in good condition? Why? We have to answer this question, why? Why should I remain spiritually fit? It's a great question, and when we do it physically, we talk about the why too, right? We look at getting physically fit, we say, okay, why? Well, I want to be healthy, I want to lose weight, I want to feel better about myself, I want to do something, and you have this reason why that kind of spurs you, and so we have to answer that same question, is why do we do this? It's such a great question. So we start with that. Why? Do I want to get closer to God? Why? I want to do this. Why? I want to do that. And so we consider this place of why when we look at Psalm 119, 9 through 11, which says, how can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping according to your word. With all my heart I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. I have treasured your word in my heart so that I may not sin against you. And so when we ask this question, why, the answer has to be that we want to honor God. That has to be our purpose as to why, because if we want to be spiritually fit for any other reason, we're not going to make it. If we want to get closer to God, and the why is you want to have a better life, it's not going to work. If the why is you want to get some blessing from God, then it's not going to work, because when you receive the blessing, then you've reached your goal, and then you're done. And the why can't be that you need to get through some problem. It can't be that have some struggle in life and things are difficult, and then because of this, I just need to get closer to God. Because what's going to happen is that once that struggle is gone, then the reason is gone, and then you're going to fall back. The reason, the why, has to be to honor Him. And to honor Him, we have to follow His word. At the very beginning of the study of Joshua, we see God talking to Joshua, and He tells him, only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or the left, so that you may achieve success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will achieve success. So to stay in good physical condition, we have to exercise, and we have to have a proper diet. Right? It has to be part of our life. We can't be physically fit if we do this. If we kick back on our couch with a bag of potato chips, and we just sit there and eat potato chips and say, man, I'm going to get physically fit. Lifting up these potato chips to my mouth is great, great exercise. It's not going to work. And we can't spiritually think that we can just kick back and sit and do nothing and expect that just somehow we're going to grow closer to God. There has to be something in that. And so if our purpose is to honor God, then we have to be motivated to fulfill that purpose. And so what should motivate us? Well, we should not want to fall. We should be motivated that we don't want to turn away from God. We should be motivated that we have a desire to live well and to serve well and to finish well. We should be motivated that someday when we stand before the Lord, we're going to hear those words, well done, my good and faithful servant. And we don't get to hear those words if we don't do something. We can't just expect, God, you know, I hung out, so tell me I did a good job, right? We should be motivated to do this. And if we don't stay connected to God, we will fail. I want to be like what we studied in 2 Timothy. We went through a series in 2 Timothy a while ago. We talked about this importance of discipleship. And I want to be what we read in 2 Timothy 2:15, where it says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a worker who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. See, as God spoke to Joshua at the beginning of this study here, He said to Joshua, do all that I commanded you to do. Obey the word of God. Basically, what God said to Joshua was, accurately handle the word of truth. And now at the end of his ministry, as leadership, as Joshua's here, he's looking at the Israelites, and he's telling them that they need to obey God's word. that they need to accurately handle the word of truth. And as we are here this morning, I am pleading with you to make this your motivation, that we obey God so that we can accurately handle the word of truth. And if we're going to do this, if we're going to study God's word, we need to have a plan. See, we don't just walk into a gym and say, you know what, I'm going to get in good physical condition and without a plan. You don't walk in and say, that machine looks pretty cool. I'm going to go there and I'm going to use that machine and I'm going to do, I'm going to do a couple of presses. One, two. Cool. That was a great workout. You don't walk in the next day and say, you know, I think I'm going to run today. Perfect. Walk back out because you just thought about running today, right? You don't do that. You have to have some kind of a plan to make it work. You can't look at the bike and say, I like bikes. Bikes are cool. Somebody should ride a bike, right? It's not going to work for you. And so when we look at this idea of being spiritually fit and studying God's word, there has to be a plan. If you've noticed when we do things on Sunday mornings that when I preach that I have a plan. I don't just sit there during the offering and think, huh, I wonder what I'm going to preach on in a few minutes. I should find something, right? I don't do that. I don't sit there on Saturday and start flipping through the Bible and so Holy Spirit lead me and I'm preaching that passage, right? That's not what we do. There's a plan. We preach through a series. We preach through a book of the Bible. And then on Wednesday nights in our co-ed Bible study we do here, we talk about these things. And personally, this is what I do. If we're studying through Joshua, my quiet time, my personal study time is spent where we are on Sunday mornings as I continue to think through and pray through. And I have this plan of where I'm going to go and how it's going to impact my life. And so I spend time in a plan. And we have to have a plan. And we talk a lot about reading the Bible, and we hear a lot about that from the pulpit here. And maybe sometimes we struggle with, okay, but what do I do? How do I do that? Because we've been there, right? Where we start to read the Bible, and we're like, well, where do I even start? And then you start in some place, and you're like, I don't even understand this. And so we struggle through it. So let me give you maybe just a few practical steps to help us develop this plan of how we spend time with God. And so if you're going to spend time with God and set aside some time, the first thing you need to do is pray. Pray. Make that the first thing you do as you study God's word and spend that time just seeking Him. And as you pray, do the second step. Clear your mind and prepare your heart. Look, this might mean that if you're going to spend time studying God's word, you need to take that little cell phone thing that you can't get away from. You need to put it in a different room. So that when it goes off and you get a text message, that you're not tempted to answer it. You're not tempted as you're halfway through Bible study to think what somebody else might be posting on social media and picking it up, right? So get distractions away, right? Maybe even on Sunday mornings as we're doing this, maybe putting some distractions away so that you can focus. But if you're going to spend time in God's Word, you need to have that time of focus. And so get those distractions away. And then read your Bible with a plan. Pick a book of the Bible that you want to study through and begin to read it. Maybe a theme, but have some idea and spend that time there. And then as you read your Bible, be encouraged and strategic and stick with this plan over a period of time. I'm going to read through John and make that a part of your life for a period of time. And then as you are reading your Bible, spend time, actually, the fourth thing, thinking about it, meditating on it. Taking some time as you think about it, what am I reading? What does this really mean to me? And then maybe spending some time, the fifth thing is recording some thoughts, writing some things down, reading actively, writing down questions you may have or things that God may be saying to you or lessons that you have, maybe some things you may need to apply to your life. And then as you finish this time, again, go back to the thing you started with and pray. In that time, praying and saying, okay, God, I spent some time in your word. What does this mean for me? God, what do you have for me as I do this? See, there has to be a plan. If we're going to get physically fit, we have this same plan. And spiritually, we have to do that, and we need to stick to that plan. As we spend time in God's word, we find ways to apply things to our life. And then as we do that, God's word begins to change us. And we'll begin to see some evidence of becoming more spiritually fit. Just as we spend time exercising, we eventually see some evidence. We'll see that spiritually as well. And as we do this, again, we see God changing us and staying on that program. In verse 7 it says, since you will not associate with these nations, these which remain among you, or mention them with their gods, or make anyone swear by them, or serve them, or bow down to them. How many times have we tried to get into shape and we just quit after a short time, physically or spiritually? How many times have we had an idea and then we just go through a little bit and we quit? How do we stay on the program? Well, verse 7 tells us that there are some things that we need to avoid. There are things that we need to avoid if we're going to stay in the program. The New Testament tells us the same thing. In 1 John 2:15 it says, do not love the world nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. In Joshua, the nations that they were in, these nations around Israel, they were a temptation. And so they received this warning. And if you read this warning, it says, look, don't associate with them. It doesn't say don't ever interact with them, but what it's saying is don't do what they're doing. Don't be like them. Don't associate with them. Don't mention their gods. Don't even let the temptation be there. Don't spend time talking about them, and don't serve them. See, Joseph feared the very real possibility that the people of Israel would choose to follow the dead gods of Canaan and compromise what they knew to be true instead of bowing down to these idols. And what he was afraid was going to happen actually did happen. And how are we different? Aren't we just as guilty as the Israelites? You know, certainly we aren't tempted to worship, you know, these gods. Like, we're not like we were when I was in Ecuador on a mission trip where you had this earthquake god that was a centerpiece in this church in Patate that we were at. They had this earthquake god. And the earthquake god, the story was the earthquake was started and this god, this idol came to life and stopped the earthquake. And so they have this earthquake god. Actually, they just have the head of the earthquake god in the church because the rest of the god got eaten by termites. And so I guess a termite god is stronger than an earthquake god. But all right, so but we're not tempted to do that. But we do have these temptations in our lives. We have these gods that we worship. Gods of self and success and materialism and career. And there are these things that are such a temptation to us that we place in front of God. And the truth is we are guilty of compromise in our lives. We can be guilty of that. We allow ourselves to indulge in activities that we know God disapproves of. But we do this and we justify it. We justify it and we say these aren't really wrong, or we say, you know, well, everybody else is doing this, everybody else I know, so it's okay. Or we say things like, well, what I'm doing doesn't really hurt anyone, and since it doesn't really hurt anyone else, it must be okay. Or we say things like, it's my life and I can do what I want to with my life, or you know, we as Americans, the one we love the most is, you know, I have my rights, it's my right to do this, right? And we do these things, and these things that we throw out there become gods to us. And they can take place of who God is in our lives. See, if we put anything above God, what we do is we end up putting God lower on our list, right? God becomes lower on our list. We say that God, church, Bible study, fellowship, believers, all these things are important. But what happens is we place other things in our life, these things get pushed further, further, further down. And while these things are being pushed further and further and further down, we continue to sing, oh, how I love Jesus. But we really are, we're loving things in the world more than we're loving Jesus. And that was the temptation to the Israelites here, and it's a temptation to us. And we have to evaluate our lives, and we have to be willing to get rid of things in our life that are not good for us so that we can put things in our life that are good for us. So many times we make this commitment to Christ. So many times we see people shed tears during a commitment, and they long for to follow Christ, and sometimes they'll come forward in a service and they'll pray for forgiveness and repentance. Sometimes they'll publicly share the desire to serve and follow God, to walk with Him, to never leave Him. Yet as time passes, the temptation is to go back to their old selves and forget the commitments that they made, forget what God had done for them. And what's the reason for the falling away? If the negative to avoiding things, there has to be a positive to that. And that means we have to put good things in our life. See, if we rely on our own ability to live our Christian life, we're going to fail. If we think we can just get rid of some things and we're going to get closer to God, we're going to fail. We have to put something positive in our life. Philippians 4:8 says, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, anything worthy of praise, think about these things." See, we have to change our focus. Physical fitness, we don't just decide that we're going to get in better shape. We have to change and concentrate on something else. It's not just about quitting eating potato chips. It's about starting eating something healthier. It's not just about not sitting on the couch. It's about I'm going to start doing something different. Spiritually, it's not just about saying I'm not doing this anymore. We have to start doing something else positive in our life. And as we seek to be spiritually fit, we have to avoid the distractions. And that's what we see here in the rest of this passage in Joshua. But you are to cling to the Lord your God as you have done to this day. For the Lord has driven out the great and strong nations from before you. And as for you, no man has stood before you to this day. One of your men puts to flight 1,000. For the Lord your God is he who fights for you, just as he promised you. So take diligent heed to yourselves to love the Lord your God. For if you ever go back, cling to the rest of these nations, these which remain among you, and intermarry with them so that you associate with them and they with you, know with certainty, hear these words, know with certainty the Lord your God will not continue to drive these nations out before you, but they will be a snare and a trap to you and a whip on your sides and thorns in your eyes until you perish from off this land which the Lord your God has given to you. Avoiding these distractions, clinging to God. You see that word cling. Hold tightly to stay spiritually fit is to cling to God. And Joshua reminds them of all the things that God has done for them. See, sometimes the distractions of life keep us from clinging to God because we forget what God has done for us. Think about that. What has God done for you? Well, if you're here this morning and you're a believer, there is a time in your life when you've accepted Christ as your Savior. God has given you salvation. God has freed you from sin. He has made you a new creation. He has taken away the old and has made new. We have a God who has offered us salvation. We have a God who has fought for us. We have a God that when we go through the difficult things of life, the God who is there for us every step of the way. We have a God who has taken defeat from us. See, we aren't defeated people. If you're here and you know Jesus your Savior, you're not a defeated person. You live in victory. The victory is already yours. Even when the world is beating you down, the victory is yours. And God has won that for you. And God is still there during all these times if we cling to Him. But what does it say here in this passage? It says, if you cling to God, this happens. But if you cling to the nations, then this, you're going to have destruction. And too often in our lives, instead of clinging to God, we cling to the junk in our world and in our lives. And then we struggle through that. And Joshua, he implores them, love God. Cling to Him. He calls the Israelites here to a heart check. And we need to have a heart check. Who or what do we love the most? Joshua tells the Israelites, you have to love God first. And friends, we have to love God first. If we do not, it'll hinder our relationship with God. And we see this here. He says, look, if you do this, this is what's going to happen. So several years ago, I made that commitment to exercise and health. At that time, I ran every day. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I ran every day. I was in the gym 3 days a week working out. And then after a couple of years, life happened. I skipped a day or two. I got busy. I'd get back to it tomorrow. And next thing you know, I skipped a week, and now it's been several years, and I struggle getting back to the point of consistent exercise. Things change. And I visited with some people that were really strong in their faith, and they skipped a Sunday or two. It took some time off because they were overwhelmed and tired, and they just wanted a little time away from church. And then you know what happened? A couple weeks turned into a longer time, and some of these same friends of mine haven't been in church in a long time, and they say, You know, it was so easy when I was going, but now that I'm done, it's so hard to go back. And I still have this desire to get back into better physical shape, but you know how hard it is to go back? How hard it is to start? And spiritually, it's the same way. So what's the best way is to never let ourselves get to a point where we stop so we don't have to restart. Spiritually, we're in danger if we neglect our spiritual life. And if we don't keep going, then we're going to go backwards. And if we go backwards, our relationship with God changes. For Israel, there was this danger of becoming just like the people of the promised land. There was a danger that there would be no distinction between the Israelites and them. And that's a danger for us today. There's a danger that we can be just like the people around us and there's no difference. We will act just like the people around us. And we've even seen churches that are no different than social clubs because there's no difference between them and the world. And God says we have to be different. If we aren't different, we'll never experience the power of God. I think it's kind of ironic that the people at this point in this passage, they're at rest in the promised land. They're not battling anymore. They're at rest. But Joshua says that you could be at rest, but there will be no peace. And the peace comes from walking with God. The text describes how they will find themselves in bondage, just like they were in Egypt. Sin would master their lives, and they'd become ensnared, and they'd become trapped. And he warns them of this danger, and what happens is they get there. Joshua sees the possibility of trouble ahead. He issues this warning to them. And it wasn't just a warning to something to say, but it was, you keep reading, these same people fell into those traps. And so I'm going to ask yourselves this morning to do a little check. To ask yourself this morning, why? Why are you here? Why are you here this morning? Why does this stuff matter? Why should I care about my spiritual life? Why should I read my Bible? Ask yourself those questions. And hopefully you come to the conclusion that the why is to honor God. I'm here this morning to honor God. This matters because I want to honor God. I care about my spiritual life because I want to honor God. I pick up and I read my Bible because I want to honor God. Then maybe we this morning need to determine the what. What do I do? Maybe you're here this morning and the what means that you need this morning to enter a relationship with Christ. Maybe you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior and that's your what. Maybe you need to start there. Maybe it means you need to make a commitment to your spiritual health. Maybe this morning that you realize that you're not really taking care of your spiritual health, and today's a day that things are going to change. This morning, what do you need to do? Do not neglect the things of God in your life and then start coasting. Because if you start coasting, you go backwards. Work to stay physically fit. Remember the reason, stay in the program, and avoid distractions.